Miami. South Beach. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, the notorious V.I.C. Vic Carucci, 4 days away from Rob Chudzinski attempting to be the first Browns head coach to win his first game as said head coach of the Cleveland Browns since Bud Carson in 1989. I'd say we're due, so hopefully that's going to count for something, Vic. But you can join the Cleveland Browns and PNC Bank for a fun-filled tailgate party in Westlake this Friday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, will be live on-site from 1 to 3 p.m. Fans can enjoy complimentary food and refreshments, giveaways, and more. You'll have a chance to visit with chumps, to meet former Browns players, to be around the notorious VIC Vic Carucci himself, ladies and gentlemen. Visit clevelandbrowns.com for more details. We are going to the hotline now, welcoming in from South Beach, Andy Kent from Dolphins.com to help preview and give a Miami perspective on this Browns-Dolphins game. Andy, welcome, and thank you for joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. And by the way, I'm pretty sure Will Smith's kid wasn't even born when that song came out last time. I haven't heard that in a while.
There you go. Andy, great to have you with us. Let's start off by talking about this team. And, hey, it was a busy offseason. They made a lot of key acquisitions, probably grabbed more headlines, I think, than almost any team with aggressiveness. What do you see being put together right now, Andy? And now that it's 4 days away from it starting, how good do you feel about where this Dolphins team is?
Well, you know, I mean, like you said, they definitely made a splash in the offseason, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Grabbing a wide receiver that I'm sure your Browns fans saw enough of in a Steelers uniform in Mike Wallace, and that was the big splash. And I mean, that's something we haven't had here in a while, is a true outside speed threat that can stretch the field and force defenses to, you know, to kind of factor that in and not be able to just kind of load the box. So that was huge on the offensive side of the ball, along with Brandon Gibson. And unfortunately, the other big acquisition we thought was going to make a big difference was Dustin Keller.
Sure.
But that season-ending and perhaps career-threatening injury to him definitely put a little damper on the direction the offense was heading. But they're definitely looking to be more wide open and put more points on the board and be able to keep up with the fast-paced NFL.
They brought in the weapons for Ryan Tannehill, who will be the second quarterback in this game between the Browns and, of course, the Dolphins. Tannehill, Whedon, both quarterbacks picked in the first round of last year's drafts, both now starting their second seasons. Tell me, what can people expect from Ryan Tannehill in year two? How much progress has he made this offseason? And getting a new weapon like a Mike Wallace, a reliable receiver like a Brandon Gibson in the slot while losing Devon Bess, how's he looking and what are his prospects in your mind?
He had an excellent preseason. And, you know, no interceptions, 98.6 passer rating. He looked very confident. You know, early on, people were concerned that they weren't seeing the connection between Ryan and Mike in the first night scrimmage. And then, of course, Wallace didn't play in the Hall of Fame game and only had one ball thrown his way in Jacksonville. But once they did connect, we saw the potential. I mean, you know, they're on the same page. Wallace is definitely a better route runner than he gets credit for, which is important in the type of offense that Tannehill runs under Mike Sherman. So his confidence level is much higher. He put a lot of hard work into the offseason. He went back and looked at every single play, every single pass attempt that he made last season to see what he did wrong, and he worked on his footwork, on his delivery. He's got the athleticism, and now that you surround him, like you say, with a speed threat, Gibson and Bess, I would say almost a wash. Gibson's a little bit taller, maybe a little bit more physical. They're trying to figure out that tight end situation. And Brian Hartline was his favorite guy last year, 1,000-yard sure. receiver. So he's got more weapons, and they're expecting a lot of major improvement. I know Mike Sherman said in the offseason he expects him to be the most improved quarterback in the entire NFL from year one to year two by the time the season's over.
And as we both know, in order for a quarterback to fulfill his potential and get these speedsters the football well down the field, you need time. You need protection. Jake Long gone from this team. Jonathan Martin, who struggled last year, moves over to the left side. And when you look at this matchup, I think from the Browns' standpoint, the key is going to be able to get pressure on the quarterback, perhaps use the strength of their front seven against, you know, the transitioning offensive line of the Miami Dolphins. Tell me a little bit about that offensive line, and do you think that is probably the key matchup in this game, the ability for the Dolphins to protect the quarterback versus the Browns' ability to rush the quarterback?
Without a doubt, that is the key matchup. That's, you know, normally when you watch a football game, the guys in the trenches, people's eyes aren't really trained on them from the moment the ball is snapped because you're watching everything else. This will be a little bit different because, like you said, Jake Long gone. The offensive line was a kind of a musical chair scenario throughout camp because of the John Jerry's injury, kept them out of practice for like 30 days. So they didn't kind of put the line out there that they expect to have in a regular season for the first time until that second to last preseason game. I think Martin's going to be fine because that's his natural position. He protected Andrew Luck's blind side for 4 years at Stanford. And when Jake Long got hurt last year and he moved back over there, a little bit rusty, but he picked it up by the time the season ended. Richie Incognito, Pro Bowl left guard. Mike Pouncey, one, you know, should have been a Pro Bowl center and have a good chance this year. And Tyson Claypool, a solid veteran right tackle. The big question was right guard, and Jerry started all 16 games last year and was solid, but he's coming back from an injury. And you know, I mean, five offensive linemen, if one is struggling, that affects the whole line. So that's going to be what I'm going to be watching come Sunday.
We are joined by Andy Kent, who covers the Dolphins for Dolphins.com here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Andy on the line with us from South Florida. Andy, let's talk about the other flip it over now, the Dolphins pass rush, Cameron Wake lining up against a young tackle in Mitchell Schwartz for the Browns on the right side. The Dolphins also trying to enhance that rush with Deion Jordan, who I know is coming back from a shoulder injury. What is his status? But give me a sense of how you see that matchup of Wake and Schwartz and in general this Dolphins defensive line, which is really probably their deepest area, right?
Without a doubt, their deepest area, without a doubt, the strength of the defense and probably of the entire team. I mean, two-time Pro Bowler in Wake, 15 sacks last year, 14 the first time he made it, and first time he made it, he was technically an outside linebacker. Anybody who's seen, you know, his highlights, I mean, he's the real deal. His first step is ridiculous, and he's relentless coming to the pass rusher. So that's going to be a tall task for your right tackle there. And on the other side, yeah, Jordan, coming back from the shoulder, Kevin Coyle kind of hinted that he's definitely going to be significantly involved in the game plan. How much, we don't know. But Olivier Vernon had an outstanding training camp, and he, you know, he had a decent rookie season last year. He's also got that quickness, not as tall, obviously, the 6'6 Jordan, but he's dangerous from the right end. Of course, he's going to be going against Joe Thomas, so that could be evened out. But the two guys in the middle, actually the three in the rotation, Solely Iodric and Starks, they're among the best in the league. So that's where they're kind of putting all their chips on, is we get a pass rush like that, and they need to in the AFC East when you're facing Tom Brady. They can disrupt anything and set the tone for the game.
In a sense, it's two similar teams with that mindset. That's what the Browns are going to try to do to cover up some of the inexperience on their back end, get to the quarterback, and use the front seven to dictate the flow of the game. Trent Richardson, second-year running back, coming off a very successful rookie season. And for the Dolphins, Lamar Miller, second-year running back, taking over for the departed Reggie Bush, who had played very well there. There was a faux competition staged between Lamar Miller and a guy who I think is not one of the better running backs in the NFL, Daniel Thomas, but Miller now the man. What are your expectations for him, and how do you see this? We talked about the line from the pass-blocking perspective, but how do you see this line doing and providing running lanes for Lamar Miller against the front seven of the Browns?
I think they're definitely strongly suited for the run game now, and they feel that because of the weapons they added and because Wallace is going to force defenses to respect that and not be able to load the box, that's going to open things up more in the running game for this team. The competition, actually, it wasn't as full a competition as you might have thought. I mean, it was pretty dead even early in camp. Thomas, you know, obviously was a disappointment his second season and the end of his rookie year. He took it to heart and went out to Arizona and worked hard and showed that he's more versatile back than he was last year. So he gave Miller a run for his money. And I think you're going to see him, when they get inside the red zone and get closer to the goal line, that's when you might see them getting Thomas in there to punch it across the end zone. But Miller definitely a speed threat, receiver out of the backfield, and they really like how far he's improved in his blocking. That's what kept him off the field last year, was they thought of him as a liability in the blocking game, and now he's improved at that. So they like the combination they have there.
Andy, let's talk about the secondary. That seems to be another area or an area of concern for this Dolphin team, pretty much getting rid of the top three corners from last year and doing a makeover there. What's your sense of how much trust they have in the back end of the defense?
They got a lot of trust. I was actually going to say that going back earlier when you were describing the Browns, front seven trying to disguise maybe some deficiencies in their young backfield. Brent Grimes, consensus among all of us down here, is he was probably the best and most important offseason pick, even more so than Wallace from what we've seen. I mean, obviously the Falcons opted to let him go. They weren't sure how he was going to bounce back from that Achilles, but he has bounced back. And he's a Pro Bowl caliber corner. He's something that they didn't have in Smith and Davis, because the biggest problem was nobody could catch a ball back there. They were not having turnovers as much. This guy catches everything, so he's an interception threat. He's a coverage threat. On the other side, Dimitri Patterson and Nolan Carroll, they're kind of flip-flopping between the nickel and the outside, and you guys know a lot about Patterson. So especially on Sunday, he's going to be looking to prove something to his former team. So they feel pretty comfortable in that secondary. Rashad Jones came on strong at the end of last year and almost made the Pro Bowl to safety, and Chris Clemens is a solid free safety as well. So they're not crying any crocodile tears over the loss of Sean Smith and Vontae Davis.
We've seen that with Vontae Davis. You got a sense of that a little bit on Hard Knocks last year. Well, thank you so much, Andy, for stopping by. A game that both of these teams, I am sure, want to get off to a quick start and get the W. It is the Miami Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns Sunday, September the 8th at First Energy Stadium. Andy, thanks so much for stopping by. And, folks, you can check him out at dolphins.com.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me, and I guess we'll see you on Sunday.
See you Sunday, buddy.
See you Sunday. That's
right. Thank you again.
Still to come here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Tom Withers will be stopping by with us to talk about this game as well and give you the latest news and notes on the Cleveland Browns here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Return to the Mac. Get on what it is, what it does, what it is, what it isn't.